Anyway, I think five is a little too narrow, so, and I, those kind of reflect that, but I kind of wanted to expand it a little more. And I also wanted to do this because usually if you hear of a book like that or something, and you're like, okay, that's fine, but that's probably from like a bunch of people, I almost said something I shouldn't have, in like New York or something. They're not even like us. And so I wanted to kind of just get a feel of the group that we have and see if it really holds to the pattern. And we'll kind of talk about that as we go. It really doesn't have a lot of insight on what we're going to do tonight, but it might. Yeah, but it might. Here, you can just have it, okay? You might. That's my pin. And so goes marriage. Okay, so before we get started, and we got a lot to, my beautiful wife is the one who needs those, not me. Are there any, just off the top of the wall, we didn't set out a box for questions. We'll have that next week. Questions like about what we talked about last week? Probably not much, but if there is something, I'll be happy to answer it real quick before we get going. Okay. All good. Okay, so I do have a couple things I want to clarify about last week before we get going. And I will preface this with, we didn't like go home and my wife say, I can't believe you said that. You need to clarify this. I actually went back and listened to it. And there were just a few things that as I was listening to it, I felt like needed just a little bit of clarification. So I painted my why. Most people were here. Anybody who wasn't here, the audio's online, and so you have an opportunity to listen to it if you want to. If not, it's whatever. But it's available, and it was pretty easy to hear. The one downfall to it is I like to joke as I teach. I like to have a good time, and the jokes didn't really come across. It was like y'all missed the laugh now sign. There would be something, and it was silence. It's like, wow, people are really not going to get, like, the feel of this thing. Anyway, there were only a couple times, so if you're going to laugh, laugh loud for everybody else. I love you guys. So a few things I want to clarify. I shared a testimony of Paige and I in... I really wanted to do that because I wanted you guys to understand not that we were messed up, because we all come from a background of being messed up, okay? And so I also painted my wife in a really bad light as I listened to it, and it was all true, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it really was very true. But I made myself, not on purpose, seem like I did all the right things, and that was not the case. I was still caught up in sin at the same time. It was just a different type of sin. And the whole point was, in the American mindset, you can walk over here, it's fine. It's no big deal. Well, no, not right here. I meant over there. No, I'm just kidding. In the American mindset, we have like certain levels of, that's really bad, right? And what we don't understand is the way that God looks at things. And honestly, all iniquity is sin is what the Word of God says. And we'll get there on a different night. But I painted it that way because the sin that Paige had fallen into seems really bad. And it seems like I can't believe a marriage would survive something like that. And the whole point of the whole testimony was just to show you that I understand all of us go through things at times. We all have struggles in some area or another. And I just wanted you to understand that when you just simply give up and give it to Christ, there's nothing that He can't take and restore. And that was the whole purpose of the whole thing. And I don't feel like, as I went back and listened to it, that came across very well. And so I just want you to understand the testimony was not there for any reason other than to show you that God is good and we are not. And so anyway, that's just to clarify last week. So let's see. I got a lot of notes, and I usually don't have a lot of notes, and so we're going to see how this goes. I usually just kind of have points, and I don't know. So the series we got going is called Redefining Expectations. And another thing I noticed as I was listening to it is you need to understand the title of the marriage class is not giving up on expectations. I want to make sure you understand that. You know, if there's something going on in life and you feel like your spouse is just never going to live up to it, maybe you do need to give up on that expectation. But for the most part, like the expectation of I want to have a marriage that gives God glory, I want to have a marriage that I feel like can fulfill the picture of Christ in the church. I'm not saying give up on that. That's not what I was trying to say when I was saying just let it go. What we need to do is we need to redefine. When we redefine what the end goal is, we change the tactic on how we get there, right? I'll use a sports analogy. Some of you guys might track with me. Maybe some of the ladies will. I don't know. But if in a football game or something, you're getting your tail kicked, you go in at halftime, and sometimes it's like, we got to change the tactic on how we're going about this, right? Sometimes you'll see a team come out after halftime and, you know, things are completely different. It's because the goal doesn't really need to change. We have a goal, but we need to change the tactic. And so when I talk about redefining expectations, we need to see exactly what God is desiring, and then we need to redefine how we're going to get there. You know, maybe you're at halftime in your marriage. Maybe you're at the end of the, I don't know, wherever you're at, and you just need to maybe just see, like, okay, what do we need to adjust so we can get to the end goal? We can achieve what we're striving for. And so I hope that kind of, I hope that makes sense. So we'll see. Okay, so one other thing that I told you last week was different than all the other weeks. Each week moving forward, starting with tonight, we're going to take a topic and we're going to get deep. We're going to get real with it. And we'll just kind of see how that goes. And so one thing I want to... You're not supposed to leave notes. It was 1, 2, or 3. I mean... Anyway. that's my wife. She's always interrupting me. It's all good. I feel like... And I had an example of this week. So track with me as I try to make this point, and we're going to get going because I got a lot of things to get through. But I feel like when people stand where I'm standing, in the sense of they're the ones that supposedly have authority on the subject, or they're the ones that you're supposed to take instruction from, and they say, no matter what the topic is, you know, okay, this is the topic. If you would just do this, then everything would be better. And so... we were listening to, and I don't really do a whole lot of podcast listening, but Paige was listening to a podcast one night on the way up here to the church, and I won't tell you what it was because some of you listened to it, and I don't want to throw shade on it because it's only one I've ever listened to. But it had something to do with marriage, and I was listening to these guys talk, and here's basically what I got out of it. And so they basically said, if you really want to have a good, God-glorifying marriage, you just need to live more like God. You need to be more like Jesus. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's the answer. How in the world do I do that, right? And that's basically what they were saying. And too often, as the guy who stands where I stand, we're like, hey, this is the issue. And if you would just do this, right, if you would just talk to your spouse more, then everything would be good. How many of you have been to one of the marriage conferences that HBF has? And it seems like every year, the guy gets up there and he's like, hey, so we just talked about this, you know, in this session, so I want you to take a few minutes and get together with your spouse and just talk about that. And like, have you ever done that and looked at your spouse like it's the most awkward situation in the entire world? And Paige and I, like, we have a pretty good marriage. We talk quite a bit. And it's still like, because somebody told me I have to do this, now it's like, I didn't really know your hair was red, babe. That's really cool. And, you know, just, we just like shut down. And it's because they give us the big picture of if you would just do this, but they don't tell you how to do it. It would be like, hey, Chris, on Monday, I want you to come to work with me, right? And you know, we're going to start framing a house. And so Tyler and I, we're going to go down here to the coffee shop and, you know, get things started, which, you know, I just one day, maybe that'll be what happens. But you know, while we're at it, why don't you get these walls laid out and see if you can't start cutting rafters for us? And, you know, Chris is going to be like, all right, you know, sounds good. If you've got confidence I can do it, I probably can do it. And you get over there and you're like, what in the world am I doing, right? Too often, that's what happens. We get up here and we're like, man, if you just do this, just love your spouse, husbands, love your wife, as Christ loved the church. Okay, well, that seems simple. Like, what? Or just talk to your spouse more. So that's what we're going to do every week. It might even seem a little too elementary. We're going to break this thing down, and I'm going to give you tools to put in your tool belt. And if you choose to use them, that's up to you. If not, like I'm just telling you, you'll cut a board straighter if you, you know, use a square, right? It's a tool. That's just what you do. And so I just kind of want to clarify that because I don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, if you would just do this. Now, if I give you how to just do this and you don't do it, well, that's on you. You know, and then it takes the responsibility off of me. So we're going to look tonight at seven different types of communication. And you might be like, seven? Like, and these are just ones that God gave me. There might be 12. I don't know. I'm not the kind of guy. Some of you are like, oh, look, it's the number of completion. And like, I'm not the guy who does that. There are guys that are better at that than I am. And they use like alliteration. And they like, this is just, as I got up early in the mornings this week and I asked God, I'm like, hey, just break this thing down for me. This is what God showed me. And there were seven of them. Okay. If you have one that was better at the end, come let me know. Okay. So I'm not, like, this isn't the end-all, be-all, and so just so everybody knows that. We're going to look at seven different types of communication, because not all communication belongs in the same conversation. Now, I did think of that. I thought that was pretty clever. Not all communication belongs in the same conversation. You understand what I'm saying, right? Well, you will by the end of the night. So before we get there, though, before we get to those seven things, we need to understand a couple things, right? Just a couple of, like, base rules as we get into this. And so before we do that, I want to pray real quick, and we'll get going, because I want to make sure God gets the glory and not me and not my wife or not anybody else or anything else. So with that, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for a week where it's been busy. There's been a lot going on, and you have even scrapped some things off my schedule so I had more time, and it still feels like the world is just crazy. And so, Lord, I thank you for things like that. I thank you for a night where just so many people have taken a couple hours just to invest in their marriage, in their covenant relationship with a spouse that pictures you in the church. And so I pray tonight, as we just set some time aside to talk about communication and what that really looks like in different avenues and different areas of our life, that you would just speak through me, that you would get all the honor and the glory, that these wouldn't be things that I came up with, but they would be all your thoughts, and that you would really use these things to begin to move us in the right direction of closer to you. So I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so before we get to the seven things, there's a couple things we need to understand. The first one is communication takes, and I know you've heard this, very basic, right? It takes both listening and talking. Some people, when you communicate with your spouse, you need to listen a little more often. Stop talking and just listen. Just hear what they have to say. Stop trying to fix the problem, because it's not a problem. Stop trying to address every little thing and just hear what they have to say. On the flip side of that, some of you need to actually open your mouth and like say something other than I'm hungry, or you know, something very simple. It's a two-way street. It takes communication. Communication takes communication. That's really ironic. So you do need to learn when to listen, but you also need to learn when it's time to open up and actually speak, right? Because if your wife or your husband is really wanting to sit down and have a conversation, it's really hard to talk to a brick wall. It just doesn't work. And before we get any farther, I'll just tell you, I know what you're going to say. I'm an internal processor. That doesn't really work for me. I guarantee you don't internally process any more than I do. Still, there needs to be some sort of communication to at least lead to the follow-up conversation when you've processed things. So anyway, that's the first thing. It takes both of you, and it takes both listening and talking. The next thing you need to know as we get into this is, I don't think I need to tell you this, but men and women are very, 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 very different. We are very different. We're not even really remotely alike. It's a wonder that God would use that to picture. But down to our desires, our thought processes, everything that we do, the way that we would do them, it is completely different, right? The way that we want to do things, the way we desire to do things, the way that we think things ought to be done, all of that is different. And that's okay, because guess what? The cool thing about that is, if we're different, we need to find a way that we can both achieve our goal without tearing each other apart along the way. Because that's what happens. Well, if you would just do it my way, it would make more sense. Well, that's not the answer. If you would just learn to understand how your spouse processes things, then you might get somewhere. Anyway, so I think we just need to understand those things. And speaking in generalizations here, and this kind of has a little bit to do with what Paige is going through, but just you kind of get the gist of what we're talking about. Speaking in generalizations here, here's what we need to understand about our spouse, right? And so I've learned this from multiple books that I've read about things like this, multiple classes that we've taught, and people that we've counseled, and it seems to be that for the most part, these are the generalizations. I understand every now and then there's an outlier where they flip-flop, but for the most part, this is what you need to understand about your spouse or your future maybe going to be spouse, okay? Men They need and desire. They need another. We're needy people. I'll just be the first one to tell you. You might be like, I'm not. Okay. We're needy people, and we need and desire to be respected and reverenced, first and foremost. You might be like, well, I thought you guys only wanted to have sex. Well, that's a different night. We're going to talk about that. But more than any of that, we have this innate desire to be respected and reverenced in our home, especially by our spouse. There is something about that that just is empowering. It makes us feel like, when I know that Paige is in my corner, I feel like I could charge hell with a squirt gun and I would win. And there's just something about understanding that your spouse just reverences and respects you, okay? I understand there's not always the thing, but for the most part, like, you can have a spouse that wants to sleep with you every night, but if there's no respect, that kind of loses it's fun pretty quick, okay? The point here is that's the deepest desire of men. So there you go, ladies. You wanted to know, and I told you. Men, here's what most women need more than anything else. They need to be loved, and they need to be led. And in today's culture, people would say, well, I'm a woman. I don't need anybody to lead me anywhere. And I understand, but I'm just telling you, the Bible says that you were created with a need, and it was to be loved in a way that Christ loved the church, and it's to be led because you were created different than the man. Like, that's just the innate way that you were created, okay? And so understanding those things doesn't really do much for you if you don't know what to do with it. So here's the million-dollar question for tonight. How do we communicate these needs to our spouse? Like, I told you that you might go home and the first thing would be like, so is that really true about you? And you might be like, well, yeah, kind of. But how do you communicate that that's really what I need? And what does that look like? And how do you communicate that? Because that's where it breaks down. We can read it. I can tell you. I can, again, this is what you need, but I didn't tell you how to do it. And you're like, well, I'm lost, okay? I don't know what to do. So if you're speaking a different language, how are you ever going to communicate? And you might be like, we both speak English, so what do you mean? I'm just saying that she speaks in a language that's very loving, very overly communicative for the most part. Again, I'm speaking in generalizations. In a language that is heartfelt to her core. And you speak a language of mean what you say and say what you mean. Hurry up, I've got things to do. Not that I don't love you, but like I've got a lot of things on my plate. And you're speaking different languages. You're both saying the same thing. But somebody I'm speaking Chinese now. Somebody could come in here and say the same thing that I'm saying in Chinese, and I'd be like, I still don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man. You have to understand how to speak the same language. Even if you're saying the same thing, it doesn't translate until you actually can speak it. This leads us to the last question we need to answer before we get started. And you need to ask yourself this. Do you know how your spouse likes to be communicated with? Do you know how your spouse or your future spouse likes to be communicated with? How do they receive information is what I'm asking you. How do they receive information? And there's a lot of different ways. And we're going to get to that one of these nights is you need to learn your spouse. But for the most part, you need to understand, how does your spouse receive information? Because you can be like, okay, these are all the tools Jason gave me. Now let's get after it. And your husband can be like, okay, I need to process these things, so please stop driving so hard, and let's just let's kind of understand that we're different, and we got to figure out how your spouse receives information. How does she take it and apply it, right? And so that's one thing you have to understand. So this takes work. I promise it takes sometimes a lot of work to actually figure this out, but it's well worth it. Here's another question that kind of goes along with that. That you could kind of answer to yourself, and wives, I would say, don't glare at your husbands too hard when I say this, but what level of education would you say that you have on your spouse? You know, do you have like a high school diploma on my spouse? Do you have an associate's degree? Do you have a master's degree? Are you still getting your GED, right? Whatever it is, what level of education would you say that you have on your spouse? Because that's like, sometimes that's revealing. I've been married to Paige for a long time, and there's still things that I'm like, maybe I don't really know what I thought I knew. And so, you know, that's just kind of a way that you need to gauge how much do I really know my spouse. And so, you know, we live in a culture of, you know, I want to learn, and we have every opportunity to learn. Well, I promise you've got every opportunity in the world to learn your spouse if you choose to. Okay, here we go. Seven types of communication in your marriage. These all break down differently. I'm going to move through these fairly quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time on any of them. I have some verse references for each of them just to kind of get our minds going, but I'm not going to spend too much time basically teaching from the Bible per se on this topic, but there are some references that go right along with it. Do you have something for me or no? Oh, just set it over here. It's fine. I don't need it right now. So, actually, let's just save it for a different night. You did a good job, babe. You did a really good job, babe. Pray for us. I'm totally kidding. It will fit somewhere else better. So, thank you. I didn't just have you do that for nothing, I promise. Seven types of communication in your marriage, in no particular order. I just kind of put these together. And so they each stand alone on their own. Each one of them is no more important than the other. So just understand as we go through this. But when I say to you, excuse me, I don't know what's going on. I woke up with like some kind of crazy head about to explode, and I'm trying not to like do the sniffle thing. But anyway, each one of these things is pretty important. But I could come in here and be like, hey, you just need to communicate with your spouse more, right? I had a different night that I wanted to do first, but I thought, if we can't learn to communicate, then what good does it do to talk about this first or that first? If we need to, as we go through the rest of these weeks, be able to talk, because, you know, I gave you all tasks last week, and I know each of you sat down at least one night, right, and talked about the things that we said we were going to talk about. Paige and I actually did this. It was really fun. I didn't know how it would go, and it was really good. But, you know, you got to have the tools to do it. And so, Chris, I'm not just telling you, hey, you need to frame the house. I'm going to give you the tools and the things to do it. And so when we get back from the coffee shop, I expect something to be done, okay? So that's what I'm saying. The point is, I'm not just going to say that you need to talk more. I'm going to give you how to do it. And if you don't do that, I'm sorry. You didn't put the life vest on. Go back and listen to last week if you didn't catch that. Okay, so the first one you need to understand types of communication. I call this outside communication. So I'll give you what I call it, and then I'll give you kind of what it means. Outside communication. This would be how you talk about your marriage. How you talk about your marriage. I'm going to try to move quickly through these verses. I already knew that I was going to be short on time, and I am. But Proverbs chapter 31 is a chapter on the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verse 28 to 31 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hand and let her own works praise her in the gates. It says that her husband praiseth her. It doesn't say that her husband goes to work and, you know, says whatever he wants to. And we'll get into that in a minute. You know, several verses. Proverbs 31:23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. How do you think he's known in the gates? Because his wife lets everybody know how great of a husband she's got, right? He's known in the gates. He has a reputation that precedes him, right? That's what I'm talking about here. Proverbs 12 and verse 4, a lot of these verses are in Proverbs, so if you can just write them down if you want or whatever, but Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones, right? It says that she is a crown to her husband. When you go to work, when you hang out with your buddies, do you reference your wife like she is a crown to you? Like she is something to be reverenced? And so if I were to, here's a question for you. If I were to ask your coworkers or your friends or your buddies or whatever you want to call them to rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10 based on what they know about it, would the answer scare your spouse? If I was to ask the people that you talk to outside of your marriage, hey, how good of a marriage do they have based on 1 to 10? And they were to, like, tell your spouse about it, you know, I'm just saying, would your wife be like, huh? well, that's interesting. You know, it's just a question. I'm not here to ask anybody. I'm just saying you want to ask yourself. Whether you like it or not, the way you talk about your spouse outside of their presence, it's going to manifest itself in their presence. What do you mean? The way that you talk about your spouse outside of their presence, man, if he would just help out around the house more often, man, if she would just, you fill in the blank, if all you do is bicker and nag and complain, I'm just saying, if the way you talk about it outside of their presence, it's going to manifest itself in their presence. That's what happens. I've been there. I've done that. I've bought the t-shirt. That's how it works, guys. There's also, just so you understand this, there's different struggles for the husband and the wife when it comes to this area, right? We're created differently. Remember that. There's different struggles. The husband will be known for, when he's around his buddies, complaining about his wife. Not always, but if you're looking at the negative, complaining about his wife, not doing the things that he wishes she would do, right? Not doing, you know, you fill in the blank, right? Comparing her to other people. That's what happens. It's not good. Now, the wife, she gets around her friends or coworkers or whatever, and we call it gossip, you know. If you just understood what he did, have you ever seen the movie, what's it called? Fireproof. Surely a lot of you have seen it. The acting's absolutely terrible, but the picture is beautiful, right? And so basically, it's a couple that is in a marriage that is headed for, they're on the fast track to divorce. He decides that he's going to try to rectify things, but things are pretty much too far gone. But he's doing the best he can. And so he starts to, you know, make gestures of, I want to make peace here. So as he's making these gestures, she's going to work and talking to all her coworkers about, but now he's making me a candlelight dinner at home. And, you know, instead of like taking it as the gesture that it is, she's getting all this info from these ladies at work. Oh, he's just buttering you up for a divorce, girl. And, you know, all the different things. Too often, gossip is going to tear down any attempt that you make. So in a woman's life, it's going to reveal itself as gossip or the same thing, comparing your husband to somebody else's. And you have to be careful. It's different in different situations, but you have to be careful. I would say that I don't know. I've never been a woman, in case you didn't know that. But I've been a guy for, you know, 37 years now. And I've been around some conversations that are just not great. Right. And it's like, what are you doing? And just this week, I was at a place getting Paige's tire fixed. And I told the guy, I'm like, I don't know what has happened. It was slowly leaking, but, you know, it lost like 20 pounds overnight. So we just need to get it fixed. It's my wife's car. You know, she's got kiddos. She hauls around. And, you know, immediately he's like, oh, yeah, I can't ever keep women happy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if you know how to take care of them, you do. Well, that stopped that conversation pretty quickly. But, you know, I'm sure all of you guys have been in a situation where it's too easy to just be like, yeah, I know, or, you know, don't be that guy. Don't fall in the line, right? Don't be like that. And so I can only imagine what it's like for the ladies. You know, we probably talk about how great our husbands are all the time, and, you know, if your husband was as good as mine, I'm sure that's how it works for y'all. But, guys, we struggle with that. And so, anyway, it's different. And so how you talk about your marriage outside of your marriage makes a big difference, okay? And so I can tell you, hey, don't do that. And again, okay, I'm not going to do that. What does that look like? So here's some tools that will help you do this. Never speak negative about your spouse to anyone. Never. Never speak negative to your spouse to anyone. If she's not fulfilling, if he's not fulfilling, go to the Lord. There's one exception to this. If there is an issue in your marriage that's big and you have sought out biblical counsel, there's a time and a place where you can both open up. But it's not at work. It's not with your friends, your buddies, your coworkers, anybody else. Never speak negatively about your spouse to anybody. That's not going to ever help, okay? That's tool number one. You want to know how to not do this? That's number one. The second tool, praise the things your spouse does well instead of focusing on their shortcomings. Too often we're like, man, you know, she doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, if he would just do this better, but we forget about the fact that, like, you know, my wife's the most amazing cook on the planet, and, you know, she's the most sensitive woman that I think I've ever met, and we forget about the things that are really great because we're looking at the things that aren't so good. And so a way to do this is praise the things, you know, if you find yourself in an area where it's like, you know, how's your spouse when it comes to this? And, you know, I don't know, but she does really good at this, man. Have you ever Find a way to always turn it back to the things that you, you know, are enamored about your spouse, okay? The way that you talk about it is a big thing. Here's number three of the tools you need to understand. I feel like I'm probably talking to men more than women, but again, I've never been a woman, so I don't know. But just so you know, sexual details should never be outside talk. What happens in the bedroom or anywhere else in your house doesn't need to be talk to anybody outside the house, okay? It's not a brag fest. It's not a complain fest. That's something that is designed to be a picture. We have an entire night that we're going to talk a lot about sex, okay, and all of that. But you need to understand, that's not something that you run and talk to anybody else about. If you have a issue, if you have a problem, there's one person to talk to about it, and it's your spouse and the Lord, okay? So that's not like go out and... Now, there may be small exceptions where somebody actually comes to you in confidence and they ask you a question, maybe because there's an issue in their marriage. But if it ever becomes gossip, if it ever becomes comparing, stop it immediately, okay? It's okay to maybe answer a question. It's not okay to give details. Those are intimate details of your life, okay? So you want tools on how to make sure you value outside communication in your marriage. There's three of them, okay? Next one. I got to keep moving. I told you, I got a lot to get through, and it's going to feel very teachy tonight. And I could spend a lot of nights on just a lot of these things, but I hope by the time we're done, communication's not an issue. You're going to have plenty to talk about. And so as we look into different areas, you're going to have plenty of tools to make those things happen, okay? So the next one, the next type of communication in your marriage, I call this the quote-unquote conversation communication. Conversation communication. You'd be like, isn't that the same word? Here's how I would explain it. How your body language speaks to your spouse. How your body language speaks to your spouse. Over and over again in the Bible, there's verses that reference our conversation. That would be basically our testimony, our walk. What does it look like? Some verses on this, James 3:13. I'm not going to read all these. I don't have time, but you can jot them down if you want. James 3:13, 1 Peter 3:2, Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. If you want to write these down, I recommend you referencing these things, but I don't want to run out of time because I don't have time to like finish next week, because next week's going to be full with something else. And so, yes, ma'am. 1 Peter 3:2, Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. Okay, so when I talk about our conversation communication, what does that mean? Words can only go so far. At some point, your actions need to mirror what you say. I can say I love you multiple times a day. If there's no action that goes along with it, at some point you're like, do you really love me? I can only say I desire to spend time with you so many times before it's like, are you sure you want to be with me, or you want to be on the golf course? Do you want to be out, you know, chasing antlers? Do you want to be out, you know, fishing? Whatever it is, I don't know, right? And I understand, we all have hobbies, right? Tyler and I are still trying to figure ours out, but we all have hobbies. We all have things that we like to do. We had a joke going this week. It's like, I really don't know what I do for fun. We just do what we do. And so anyway, I'm not saying you can't do things, but the point here is like, if your actions don't match your words in your marriage, there's issues, all right? Your conversation doesn't line up with your communication, and now you're a hypocrite. That's the word everybody likes to be called, right? If you couldn't speak, and you might be like, well, I can speak. Well, the funny thing is, if you tempt God, he's got a sense of humor. And so don't be surprised if all of a sudden you can't speak for whatever reason. How is your spouse, how would they feel about your relationship? If you couldn't speak and it wasn't just words, how would they feel about your relationship in the past, in the present, and moving forward? How would that look? Here's some examples, because I don't feel like you're picking up what I'm throwing down. So here's a really good one. This one's important to me, and my wife knows this, but it might be to you. It might not be. How do you greet your spouse when you see them for the first time during the day? And you might be like, we're like both half asleep. Now, I'm not usually talking about the mornings, because not usually do husband and wife see each other in the mornings. Usually the husband is up earlier or the wife's up earlier. Or it just doesn't usually work. But like at the end of the day, when I get home from work, or how do you greet your spouse? Is it like, man, okay, we got to get going. It is, I don't know why, but it is extremely important to me that my wife greets me. and just lets me know that, like, hey, you're important to me. And it might just be like 10 seconds, but it like makes my day. It absolutely makes my day. If I get home and my wife stops whatever she's doing and she comes and she's just like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm really glad you're here. And, you know, that makes my day. How do you greet your spouse? Is it just like, oh, yeah, hey, we got this going on tonight? Or is it like, are you excited to see them? Right? You don't ever know. You don't ever know when that might be the last time you get to greet them. Right? I think of the story in the Bible of the prodigal son, and you guys understand the guy, he ran off and he was a knothead, and he comes back, and, you know, basically his dad had every right to basically disown him. And what's he do? He, like, runs to him. He embraces him, right? I don't know how you greet your spouse, but, you know, I'm just saying, maybe this week, one of your tasks, it's not really written down, but one of your tasks, if when you see them, you run to them, and you embrace them, and you kiss their neck, you might be surprised at how things go. I'm just saying, the way that you greet your spouse, see, y'all think I'm always talking about sex. That's not the case. Only sometimes, right? How do you greet your spouse? That's a big conversation, communication thing, right? How do you greet your spouse? It's important. Another one, do you ever open the door for your wife, right, on the car? Do you ever pull out their chair at dinner? Right? Do you ever make time to actually be a gentleman? You know, the things that we don't do anymore in our culture. Those things, some ladies are just like, who cares? I mean this in the best way possible, but like there's times that we'll be in a hurry and my wife will walk to the door and I'll get in and she's just standing there and she's just like, I'm just so used to you opening the door for me that, and I'm like, all right, point taken, right? That's just what we do. And so it should be expected, guys. This should be something you do. And ladies, there's things that you can do to just let your husband know that, like, hey, I love you. And it's just the little things. It's just the, no matter what, like, your greeting, the way that you just take care of the little details, all the things, right? You might think these are stupid. Well, when you pile a whole lot of things that you think aren't that big of a deal together, all of a sudden it starts to show that, like, I must mean something to this person for them to go that far out of their way for me. Right? I'm just giving you some examples here. How you communicate yourself doing things that they like to do, right? You ever found yourself in a situation where it's like, hey, we got to go shopping. And I'm like, yes, shopping's my favorite thing ever. Can we make sure that we try on like 10 things at every place we go? I don't love shopping. Yeah. I'm just like, hey, can't we just get our size and take them home? And if they don't fit, we'll bring them back. Like, that's fine. Anyway. So you want to know how you can show your wife that you love her? Act like you're having a good time, even if you're really not. You're spending time with her. Isn't that better than work? Yeah, I'm just saying, like, isn't it? I used to have buddies that would tell me that, you know, a bad day on the golf course was better than a good day at work. I used to play a lot of golf. Or, you know, a bad day on the lake is better than a good day at work. And I'm just telling you, a terrible day with my spouse is still time well invested, right? You might be like, yeah, Jason, preach. Okay, ladies, how about when your husband, you know, like, he's just like, hey, I just want to sit down and watch the game. You know, can you at least, you know, act like the time is well worth it? I mean, for whatever reason, it's important to him. I don't know. For whatever reason, I enjoy watching sports, football mostly. Like, we don't even really turn the TV on any other time. I used to like watching baseball, but the Royals are terrible. Like, just absolutely terrible. And so, just do how you present yourself when you're doing something that you don't really love, but you know that they do. If you drag your feet kicking and screaming, it's not fun for anybody, right? But if you just act like you're having a good time, it means the world to them. It really does. My wife was like, fine, if you enjoy watching football, I'll learn it, right? And she's still like, what does a fullback do, right? Or what is it you asked me? It was, I think, at the beginning of this year. It was a position that didn't even exist. And she's like, what does this person do? And I'm like, what was it? Do you remember? Yeah, she's like, so what is the, she's like, okay, so what's the point of a safety back? And I'm like, I don't know, that's a new one on me, babe. But she's trying to learn. And when she says things like that, like, it, you know, it tells me she's trying. She's trying her best to learn. Does she really care? Probably not. But she's trying. And so it tells me that the next time that she wants to go do something, like pull weeds in the garden, because we grow weeds really well at our house, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't have a garden this year, but I just been like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my best. Just be like, yeah, I just really want to do that because, you know, what kind of weed is this, babe? You know, is it different than this weed? Or, Don't smoke it, she said. That's okay. The point is, like, how do you communicate yourself? You want to show them that, you know, that's a type of communication. And if you can just do that, I'm telling you, it's gonna go miles. You don't believe me? Try it. Again, I can only tell you the right answers. I can't, like, fill them in for you. You have to do that part of it. Okay, so here's some tools to make this work out for you. If you, like, want some tools to, what does, like, this look like, or how can I do it? So the first one, greet your spouse like they're the best part of your day. You could have had the most terrible day in the world. We poured a wall this week, which really wasn't that bad, other than I felt like I had thrown my back out worse than I had ever done in my life. And somehow I was able to, like, tweak myself around and get it to pop back to where I at least finished what we were doing. But I was in rough shape. And I came home, and it's like, still, the last thing I wanted to do was come home and be like, I'm in terrible shape, babe. And I'm just like, hey, you know, can we just hang out? I was home a little bit early. It was good. And, you know, so no matter what it is, greet your spouse like they're the best part of your day. If they ever feel like they're a downgrade from where you just came from, the day is shot. You can't recover from a bad greeting. It's kind of like they say you can't recover from a bad first impression. It's really hard to do that, right? I tell my sons that when, like, you know, they're in the age where they're starting to be interested in girls, and I'm just like, hey, just so you know, and I'm not talking about your girlfriend, I'm talking about her parents. You can only make one first impression, right? And so, like, same thing. You can't recover from a bad greeting. Sometimes it takes days. So I'm just saying, you want a tool? Greet your spouse like they're the best part of your day. Another tool you can use, tell your spouse you want to be with them in this situation. You fill in the blank of what it is without words, right? Just tell them in some way or another, I want to be here with you, without being like, hey, I want to be here with you. I mean, yeah, they like to hear that too, but you know how else they like to hear that? By you actually acting like you care, right? I mean, here's a good example. We got to go to Warsaw today. You know, that's just right down the road. To Warsaw today to watch Brenton in a marching competition. Now, we'll get to this in a different night, but, you know, you need to make these things a priority, okay? And so, but we, the last two weekends in a row, have went to Stockton and to Pleasant Hope to do the same thing, and they march by. It's not like, you know, it's a football game where it's super exciting or anything, and it's just like, so we go and we watch the marching competition, and we had to get back, and, you know, I'm like, yes. I'm like, we're not going to go this time. And she's like, really? And so then I got my heart right. And so we went, and, you know, it was a good time. But we drove to Warsaw to be there for 15 minutes, I kid you not, to turn around and drive back so we could get back here for church cleaning and all the stuff, right? The whole time, I'm like, I'm not even ready to teach tonight. I still got 2 points to go. When am I going to get this done? I'm freaking out. That's a long car ride to be in the wrong state of mind with your spouse. Or you can just act like you care. Use that time to actually talk about life, anything, instead of acting like that's not where you want to be. Your quote-unquote conversation, the way you carry yourself, goes a long way. And then a third tool you can use is allow your conversation, quote-unquote conversation, to, let's just call it, flirt with your spouse more than your words. Allow your actions to flirt more than just, hey, baby, you wanna? No, I don't. Thanks for asking. And that's what she asked me last night. Can you believe that? Totally kidding. After the back room. Allow the way that you act to do a little flirting. And I'm not saying, again, this is something we'll talk about later, I'm not saying get handsy and grab. I'm just saying, like, you use your conversation to flirt a little bit. I kid you not, I'm pretty sure that Paige and I have a complete language in just the way that we look at each other at times, and the way that we can, with people around, kind of raise our eyebrows, and we just have a communication. I can tell you exactly what she's thinking. Not exactly, but I can get pretty close to what she's thinking by just looking at each other. And so that only comes through time, and it only comes through actually getting to know your spouse, right? And having a conversation without words sometimes. Does that make sense? Okay, so first one was your outside communication. The second one is your conversation communication. Got to keep going. We're running out of time very rapidly. The third type of communication in your marriage, your daily communication. I'm going to move quickly on this one because I think we all have this one figured out. This would be how you talk through daily tasks of life. How you talk about the daily tasks of life. Matthew 5:37 is a good reference. I'll read Proverbs 19:13 for you since I'm here. Matthew 5:37, Proverbs 19:13 says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and a contentious wife are a continual dropping." What does that mean, right? It means somebody who's just nagging about all the daily things all the time. It's just like, you ever been in like, probably not. We don't live in this kind of culture, but somewhere where it's like just the roof is dripping over and over again, and it just drives you crazy. That's what it's comparing, like a wife who, and not just a wife, but a husband who is always just nagging and complaining about the same things. Like, talk about the daily things of life and move on, and we'll talk about what that means here in a minute. But this is the most important and the least important communication all at the same time. Your daily communication is the most important and the least important all at the same time. What does that mean? Without it, your marriage is impossible. Without being able to be like, hey, what do we got going on this week? What do we, you know, where are you going to be? Where am I going to be? You know, without it, marriage is impossible. You have to have this kind of communication. It's the most basic. But if it's all you have, your marriage is also impossible. Does that make sense? Without this type of communication, marriage is impossible. But if this is all you have is, oh, where do I got to be today? Where are you going to be? Where's the kids at? You getting groceries? Am I? What's for dinner, right? All of the just daily tasks. If that's all you talk about, then also marriage is impossible. And I hope you kind of track with what I'm going with here. So things like the kids, right? Where do they got to be? What games do they have? This, that, that. What's for dinner tonight? What's on the schedule this week? Like we've got, my wife does a really good job. We've got like a calendar over here that she writes everything in on, and it's so full that I'm like, we are way too busy. And then she's got another one over here that's like, this is what we're having for dinner tonight. And it's like, this one's not near as full as that one, but I understand because life is crazy. And like there's calendars everywhere and all the different things. And, you know, what's on the schedule this week? Home tasks. Hey, like, you know, what needs to be done around the house? You know, do we need to call Nick? Because, you know, the grass hasn't been mowed in a month. At some point, somebody's going to have to knock this stuff down. And like all the things, right? Just the daily tasks. And you can even lump how was work in with this. Because a lot of times we ask this question very superficially. Oh, how was your day? And our mind's gone. You can tell me how your day was. And I'm like, you know, how was your day? Well, I just told you. Oh, you did? Again, these are just daily. Like until we start to get a little deeper and actually care, then it's just daily communication, okay? And we have to have this. It makes sense. But without it, it's terrible, right? There was a season where I get up early. I go to work. Paige is, she's got several different ladies she's doing Bible studies with. She's, you know, she babysits two little boys. There's just everything all the time. And I finally got to the point where I'm like, just let me know where you're at. Like, I just don't have any idea where you're going. What days are you gone from the house? What days are you home? I just, like, it just helps me to know, are you at least home today? Are you not at home? Like, you know, on top of that, we're running a business, and, you know, when we have a job that's actually our job, then it's like, hey, can you come look at this? And she's like, didn't you know that I got this going on? And I'm like, well, yeah, can you still do it? And just all the things. It's just daily, in and out, all the stuff. And sometimes it gets repetitious. Don't allow getting to live life with your spouse become work. Now, that might be the most important thing I say to you tonight. Don't allow getting to live life with your spouse become a grind. Remember when you were dating? Yeah, I don't either. But I remember, I just mean like, it's been a long time. That's what I mean. I say these things trying to be real with y'all, and then I got to go home and repent and totally kidding. It's all good. But the only desire you have is like, man, I just want to be able to live with you. Like, I don't want to have to be like, okay, let's kiss goodnight and I'll see you tomorrow. What's it going to be like when we have every day together? And then now it's times like, is there going to be a time when you're not here every day? Right? That's not how I feel, but there's people that feel like that. And it's like, what? Don't allow the daily grind. Don't allow getting to live with your spouse become work. Enjoy the grind together. That's hard to do sometimes. When we've got a remodel job going on and teaching three nights a week and you just fill in the blank. When we're busy, 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 sometimes the last thing that is fun is finding time for us, because it's like, I feel like I spent all day with you and we didn't really. So don't allow the getting, not having to, but getting to spend valuable time together. Here's an example of this. I love, and guys, you're going to be like, he's just saying that. I love going to the grocery store with Paige, because I feel like we are so busy that just like very seldom do I get to go somewhere where I'm not in charge and I can just be like, hey, can we get this? Hey, how about this? Doesn't this look fun? I'm like, hey, it's not in the budget, babe. I'm like, well, it's not my budget for once. So like, are you sure you don't want this? It looks really good. Like, we could have, and we just hang out and have a good time. And it drives her crazy, I think, sometimes. But I just, it's something that I get to do that, like, I'm in a position where I'm not the boss for once. And I'm just like, I'm here. I'll push the cart, right? You want me to bump you again? That's kind of fun. No, I don't want you to bump me again. Okay, fine. Like, I'm just, learn to, like, make the daily things fun. You have to. Because if not, like, what is? Okay? Anyway, so here's here's one more point. Don't allow the daily conversation to become daily nagging, right? Don't allow the daily, hey, do you remember I asked you about getting this done? Hey, do you remember, were you going to mow the yard this week? Hey, were we going to have something different tonight for dinner? And, you know, don't allow the daily nagging to be the conversation. In general, whether it's husband or wife, ask once and give them time to figure it out. And if it doesn't happen after a couple weeks, you might be like, weeks? After a couple weeks, just be like, hey, do you remember when I asked you, could you get that done? And then after that, if they still don't do it, just take it to the Lord. Redefine your expectation. Here's a good example of this, and I got to get going. So Paige bought these baskets she wanted hung on the wall. And for the past, year, she's like, hey, could you hang these on the wall? She homeschools Hallie, and she's like, they'd be really good for my school books and her school books. And I'm like, I don't want those on the wall. I don't think you want those. Because it's not really what I want. It's her house, and it's our house. But, like, it's her abode, and she lives there. I just, you know, am there sometimes, it feels like. But I'm like, so instead of telling her I don't want them, I need to convince her that she doesn't want them. And so I try for a very long time to convince her, like, you really don't want these. You need a bookshelf, right? Right here in the middle of the dining room. It'd be great, right? You need, and just whatever. And so she asked me several times last year, and I made it to the end of school, never put them up. At this point, she's taking it to the Lord. And so school starts again here just recently, and she says, hey, I still got these baskets. Do you want to hang them on the wall for me? And immediately was like, yeah, I probably better get that done. And yet again, I tried one more time. I'm like, are you sure? I was just making sure. I'm like, are you sure you don't need a bookshelf? We could put it in the toy room. She's like, that's super handy. I'm like, I mean, it would be out of sight. Anyway, don't nag, because it doesn't get anywhere. And to my credit, I finally got them up this week. It only took, who knows, maybe a year. I don't even know. But the baskets are all on the wall. Don't allow the daily conversation to be daily nagging. Because if it becomes nagging, then it just becomes a point of contention. Nobody needs that. So tools to go with this, with your daily communication. Now, understand what I say when I say this. Over-communication is not real when both people care. And some guys are like, no, I promise over-communication is real. No, I'm saying in your marriage, over-communication is not real when both people care. If you care enough about what she's doing, she's not going to over-communicate it to you. Because she's going to let you know, and then you're going to move on to something different. But if she feels like you're completely strung out and not hearing, she's going to tell you the same thing three different times. And she's going to ask you, did you talk to them, and did you take care of this? And if you actually care about the conversation, over-communication isn't a thing. Okay, so don't think that all she wants to do, all he wants to do is talk. If you would actually engage in the conversation, we could move on. Okay, so just understand, over-communication, it's not real when both people care. Second one, don't allow nagging to divide. Give it to the Lord. And I feel like I talked about that, so just move on. Don't nag about it. It doesn't really gain anything. It causes contention. It causes roots of bitterness. There's just no growth in it. Okay? Now, I don't mean don't come back to it, But guys, gals, if they bring it back to you, and it's been a couple weeks, and you've had opportunity, and you didn't do it. Now, I understand if, like, you haven't had an opportunity, what do you want me to do? And then it just becomes a dispute. But if you've had opportunity, you know, and you're watching the game, not just your game, but, you know, three other games, and, you know, I get it. Like, when the game is on, can I have just a few hours? But, like, now we're watching a game that's not even, like, it's not even an AFC game. Like, yeah, we probably could get the baskets home on the wall, is what I'm saying, right? I get what you're saying, okay? And so don't allow nagging to divide, give it to the Lord. And the third tool that you can use with this is if this, meaning daily communication, if this is the only communication present in your marriage, then let me just tell you, friend, your marriage is on life support. If this is the only communication that's going on is, where do I got to be today? What's going on with the kids? This, I mean, there's nothing more than this. Your marriage is on life support. And I'll say one last thing, and I'll move on, because, and I'm saying it to myself, busyness is no excuse for laziness. And I say that to me, because I could give you every reason why I'm too busy to do whatever it is that she wants me to do or needs me to do. Or busyness is no excuse for laziness. Your top priority, other than the Lord in your life, is your spouse. We're going to talk about that next week pretty heavily, but top priority. More than work, more than kids, more than anything else is your relationship with your spouse. Busyness is not an excuse for laziness. That's daily communication. The fourth type of communication in your marriage, you wore out yet? Because there's a lot. You're like, well, I just needed some tools. I didn't need all the tools, right? I didn't know I needed like a toolbox in the back of my truck for all this. Well, guess what? You better get one. You signed up. I told you last week I would give you everything I had if you'll give me everything you've got. Fourth type of communication. I call this one intimate communication. This is not sexual communication. This is intimate communication. This is how you reveal your heart to your spouse. And some of you might be like, I ain't about to be doing that. I'm sorry. This is how you reveal your heart to your spouse. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. This is a really cool book. We're going to spend some time here moving forward in several weeks. But Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7 says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave, and coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempted. Right? What he's saying is like, set me as a seal upon your heart. We guard our heart from everybody. And what I'm saying is there's only one person that should have an imprint on that thing, and it should be your spouse. The Lord, obviously, but it should be your spouse. Jeremiah 17:9 is another good verse. I'm going to keep moving because I got to keep going. But Jeremiah 17:9. So this is the type of communication. This type of communication is the most desired and the hardest to have. This type of communication is the most desired and the hardest to have. It takes, this communication, it requires all walls, all defenses to be taken down. And you might be like, that's hard for me to do. You don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. Sometimes there needs to be some professional help. Like, things have happened in people's lives. A lot of times, you just need to allow your spouse to be a part of you. Right? You're supposed to leave and cleave. You are two to be one flesh. Like, all of those things, okay? And so sometimes there are some professional things that need help. You just have, like, a wall around your heart. But a lot of times, it's just, you just need to let go and let your spouse in, okay? And so all walls, all defenses have to come down. It's the most real, and it's also the most raw. And it requires you to completely put yourself out there. And you might be saying, I'm not ready for that. That's sad for your spouse. And you might be like, I'm working towards it. And that's okay. Like, that's good. As long as you're making steps. But if you've decided, no, they are not getting in, then that's hard. Like, you're called to be a picture, and without allowing them to fulfill the picture, like, how does that work? That's like saying, God, you can have my entire life except for this one part. Well, that's not how that works with God. And our marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, so that's not how it works in your marriage. It's all. And so it's raw, guys, and I understand it's hard. To have conversations like these, your feelings, they have to be put to the side for a while your spouse speaks. Sometimes you need to just sit back and this is a good time to listen. This is a good time when somebody finally is like, this is how I really feel. Sometimes you just need to hear it. Sometimes you're hearing really hard things, but sometimes these are the most deep conversations that you'll have. These can be good and bad conversations. Let me give you a couple quick examples of what I'm talking about. Because some of you might be like, I think I know what you're saying, and maybe I don't. And like, I'm talking about like deep things that, you know, don't just come up driving down the road. And recently we were at a funeral and we left, and I don't know, I was just reflecting on some things, and just out of the blue, I told Paige, and usually these conversations don't happen like this. Usually these aren't just out of the blue conversations. And both examples that I'm going to give you are out of the blue, but it doesn't usually happen like this. Usually these are like planned. We need to sit down and, you know, guys, what do you usually think when your wife says we need to talk? Yes. It's not usually, right? And I'm just saying, like, schedule times. Anyway, we had been in a funeral and we were driving down the road and it was just kind of somber. It was kind of quiet. And we're headed to get something to eat. And I asked her, I'm like, you know, I think you probably know this about me, but maybe you don't. I'm like, do you know what my biggest fear is in life? And, you know, most of you would be like, it's snakes. You tell us that all the time, Jason. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, someday there'll be a world with no snakes because God will rule and I won't have to worry about that anymore. And it's just something not normal. They don't have feet. If they had legs, it would be totally... A lizard, I'm fine with, man. I'm like, hey, bud. Like, even big lizards. But it's like, doesn't have legs and feet. It's something wrong with it. I could tell you stories, but anyway, they live in the water. I don't, don't speak logic to me right now. Snakes are bad. Anyway, and you know, I'll tell you, I don't care. It's not that big of a deal. I've told my wife now, and I'm like, my biggest fear is when I die, nobody shows up to my funeral. And I was like, it has nothing to do with, like, I want a bunch of people to like me. But it has everything to do with the fact that since I got saved, I've spent my entire life basically giving it to everybody else. Like, everything that I've got, I basically said, God, you can have it. And we've poured out everything we've got. And then, like, to maybe have my funeral and just nobody shows up. Obviously, your family's going to show up. They have to. Like, it's something, somewhere contractually, your family has to come to your funeral. I don't know why it is. You know, you got to go to Aunt May's funeral. And I'm like, I don't even know Aunt May. Or I don't have an Aunt May. That's why I can say that. But, you know, the funerals that you go to because you actually care. And it just, like, I'm like, that terrifies me because that's been our life. It's just pouring into people. And, you know, for there not to be... that would basically mean that the investment was for naught. And so anyway, that's like one of those real intimate conversations. That's not one that Paige is like, well, okay, you know what mine is? You know, that's usually one that it's just kind of like, okay. And, you know, those are the intimate, deep conversations. Another one, this would go more on the bad side of things. Sometimes these are good conversations. Sometimes these are bad conversations. There was a time, and I won't tell you the details of this. This is between Paige and I, but I'm trying to be real with you all. I had to go on a trip to North Carolina to pick up parts for work. When I used to work at the sand plant, this would happen pretty often. And when I say go on a trip, you're like, sweet, pre-vacation. No, we got in the truck and we drove straight to North Carolina and we turned around and drove straight back. It was 36 hours straight. And it was like, cool, that's fine, I'll take Paige with me and she can drive part of the time. And I think she drove for about 2 hours the entire trip. Okay, she drove a couple hours on the way down, but on the way back, when I was really struggling, and I'm like, okay, you got to drive, she made it about 45 minutes. And she's like, okay, you got to drive. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, it's all good. But you got to get to the point, because I got to get moving. It was on this trip that We had nowhere to go. It wasn't like you could get out. There was a conversation that needed to be had. And so God had been working some things out in my wife's life. Some things had been happening. It had nothing to do with between the two of us at the time, but there were some things coming up, and there was some sin in her life from before we had gotten saved. And so you might be like, well, it's all under the blood of Christ. Well, it was pretty personal sin to the two of us, and it had never been revealed to me. And so that was one of those intimate conversations that, like, I would have probably been like, I need to leave for a while, but where am I going to go? And so we talked, and then we didn't talk for a lot of hours, and, you know, God worked some things out, and then we were able to actually talk. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about intimate conversations, I'm talking about, like, we're past this, and I know I can internally process things like this was under the blood of Christ. It's still hard to hear. It's still, you know, and so anyway, but you know what? It gets everything out in the open, and it's all, and so I remember that, and that's what I'm talking. When I'm talking about intimate conversations, sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're kind of, but this is what I'm talking about when you're actually revealing your heart to somebody. It's not superficial. It's not, you're revealing truth. And so when I say it's the most desire, but it's also the hardest to get, that's what I'm talking about, okay? And so not your typical, you know, how was your day conversation. That's not what this is. This isn't your typical, you know, did you have a good day at work? It takes planning, usually, and willingness by both people, or entrapment by vehicle, one or the other. But I'm totally kidding. It's a need. This is a type of conversation. This is a type of communication that's a need in your marriage. It has to happen. It will also grow your relationship the most. You might be like, what? It'll grow your relationship the most. More than superficial, whatever. It'll grow your relationship. Okay, so some tools for this. I got to keep moving. You need to plan for conversations like these. You need to set aside some time and say, hey, we've got something kind of big we need to, or I got something I want to talk about. It's, you know, don't leave them hanging, because sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, what? But plan things out like these, okay? Number two, pray for your spouse. Don't push your spouse. When it comes to things like this, pray for them. Don't push them. Sometimes they're not ready, and that's okay. Okay? Another one, ask questions, but don't expect immediate answers. When you're asking deep questions like this, you know, hey, what's your biggest fear in life? Oh, you know, ask questions, and it's good. You need to know them, but don't expect immediate answers. Sometimes these are things that you need to internally process a little bit. Hey, when this happened, I know it was a pretty big deal. What exactly happened there? What did that do to you? How did that affect us? Like those, ask questions, but don't expect immediate answers. Give space for a genuine response, not a programmed answer. I would always rather have a genuine response than a programmed answer. Some people always wonder why Jason never texts them back immediately. Well, one, I'm really busy. And two, because I'm not the guy who prides myself on, I text you back in 20 seconds because I can say I text everybody back. I want to give you a genuine response instead of a programmed answer. That's just me. So anyway, and number four, tools for your tool belt when it comes to this. Never have a quote-unquote off-limits room in your heart from your spouse. There is nothing that's off limits from your spouse. If there's something big, seek godly counsel. That's what the church is for, guys. Hope that makes sense. So I understand, like, tonight's not like not a whole lot of laughing going on. You said we were going to laugh a lot. I said it was going to be a good time. And I'm just like, this is, I told you last week, this is going to be very real. And if you can implement this in your life, then the rest of these things will be more fun, right? Like, the only thing more fun than having sexual relations with your spouse is talking about them with your spouse. And so, like, being able to communicate well about everything, we have to have this conversation first. And I'm not going to be like, well, if you're just more godly, your relationship would be better. I could point you to the podcast, and that's what you'll hear them say. Or I could tell you, these are the tools that you need. And I didn't tell anybody what it was. I tried to listen to like 5 minutes of it, and finally I was like, can we be done listening to this? Because this is not good. Anyway, I didn't throw anybody under the bus when I talked about this. Anyway, okay, so that's it. Number five, this is one that everybody likes to know about, and I got to get moving. I got five. Oh, man, I got to get going. We'll call this heated communication. Gosh, I hate running out of time. Heated communication. This is how you work through disagreements with your spouse. Heated communication. I'm going to give you a whole slew of verses, and we're going to move on. Ephesians 4:29. Proverbs 21:9. Proverbs 21:19. Ephesians 4:26. And Ephesians 5:21. So, Proverbs 21:19, Ephesians 4:26, Ephesians 5:21. One of these verses says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. It says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry, but don't allow it to be sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, meaning take care of it today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Another one of these talks about compromise in your marriage, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of the Lord. You know what that means? That means coming to a compromise on things. It doesn't always have to be your way. It doesn't always have to be that their way. Compromise. All right, so these are verses that reference these things. Okay, so everyone has disagreements or arguments. If you tell me you're not, then I don't believe you. But how you respond to them will reveal your marriage health. So here's, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. Do we, meaning you and your spouse, do we fight well? Do we fight well? Meaning, do we accomplish something when we disagree? Again, I referenced this last week, and I will reference it one more time. There is no room ever, ever, ever for any kind of physical violence when it comes to a disagreement. If you've been there, are there, have thought about going there, you're an idiot. And I don't care who you tell that I said that. Like, I'm just calling it like it is. There ain't no place in that. Okay. Do you fight well? Do you accomplish something when you disagree? Disagreements are okay. Pride isn't. When you pride yourself on, I'm digging my heels and I'm not giving an inch, you're a fool. Disagreements are okay. Pride is not. Important question, another one you need to ask. Do we have, quote-unquote, rules of engagement? What does that mean? Do you have rules of engagement? I'm just going to assume that you've already, even the ones of you who have been the most recently married, have had disagreements already. And I'm going to assume that you will have another one before you die. I didn't say got divorced because that's not an answer, okay? So I'm going to assume that you will have another one, right? And so do you have rules of engagement? What are rules of engagement? They are like ground rules. We'll talk about those here in just a minute. But you need to have rules of engagement. When something is resolved, another point, put it to bed and don't bring it back up. Don't always come back. Well, you remember that one time. Well, yeah, that's what we talked about last week and we resolved it. Don't always be digging up the past. When something is resolved, move on. Does God bring your sin back up every day when you act like a fool? No. It's taken care of. It's all under the blood. Move forward. All you can control is what you do from today moving forward. Your spouse is the same way. Stop digging up old stuff. It'd be like me always bringing back pages old past. I would be a fool to do that. Move forward. Make sure you always, quote unquote, kiss and make up. Make sure you always kiss and make up. Sometimes when you both come to the end of yourself and come to a compromise and come together, those are the best. And I don't mean what you're talking about, what you're thinking, and I do mean what you're thinking all at the same time. Like, there's something about when you finally just come to the end of yourself and you finally just realize that it's only because of Christ that you, either one of you, are here anyway, and you get back to the true meaning of, like, it doesn't even matter. I have you, and we're together, and I'm just saying, always make sure you kiss and make up. fill in the blank of what you think that means. Some tools to make this happen, okay? So when we talk about rules of engagement, you need to have these in your marriage. This is going to be one of your tasks for the week, so if you want to go ahead and think this through, but you need to have rules of engagement. These would be like things that we'd never say when we argue. We'll never say the word divorce when we argue because that's not an option in our life. Like, that's not a godly option, okay? So that doesn't get brought up. The answer is always, okay, how will we work through it? That never gets brought up. There might be things in your, and I'm not going to make your rules for you, but that's one of ours. We have one. We're never going to, we don't call it argue. We're never going to disagree strongly in front of the kids. There's just no need for that. We take care of things. And sometimes it's, you know, we just have to like separate ourselves. The kids are older now, so it's a little bit easier, but that's just not something we wanted to do. There's no need. They didn't cause whatever's going on, so we don't do that. Okay, so that's one of ours. Never, you know, there might be things in your life where, you know, you're never going to bring this up again. You know, we've been through there. I'm never going to bring Paige's past sexual sin up in an argument. That's just stupid, right? So make sure whatever it is in your life, you have rules of engagement. Because, and so here's something you need to understand. You have to be vulnerable enough, I think is how you say that word, to reveal to your wife what it is that you don't ever want them to say, or your husband. And so as the other spouse, be sensitive to never use that as the thing that you know is going to cut the deepest. You would be a fool to do that, okay? You're asking them to tell me up front what is the one thing that would just cut you to the deepest, and then you're going to use it in an argument. Like, that's, okay, so there's two sides to that. So make sure you have rules of engagement that you just, okay, so you're able to fight well. You're able to disagree well. We don't like to call it fight, but disagree well, or you can accomplish something, okay? So have those in your life. Another tool, only apologize when it's heartfelt. Guys, have you ever tried being like, yeah, I'm sorry, and she's like, you're a fool. She knows when you're sorry, so don't say it too soon. Only do it, and ladies, you too, only do it when it's heartfelt. Only apologize when it's heartfelt. Another tool, never use the deep cutting thing. I talked about that a second ago. Never use the thing that you know is just really going to cut them to the heart. Number four, keep things separated. Don't mix disagreements. You know, there is no keeping score. There is no, okay, well, I feel like I'm losing this battle, so we need to put reinforcements over here, and so we can win this one. We don't do that. That's not what we do here. I feel like Meredith might do that. She's laughing really hard, so. I only say that, I just. No, that's a different one. Sorry, that's a different number. Yeah, that's don't keep score is a different one, but yeah, don't keep things separate. Don't mix disagreements. Don't do that. Don't keep score, quote unquote, keep score. That's, I mean, come on, guys. You're married. Like, this isn't, I don't know. Keep things separated. Don't mix disagreements. I got to get moving. I'm running out of time. You guys are asking too many questions. Oh, well. Thanks, Phil. Don't bring past sin into new arguments. Don't bring past sin into new arguments. That makes sense? I think we can kind of track with that. I don't know. That's number five, but I already gave you number six because it was don't keep score. As long as you get some of them, you can't use every tool the same day. We've got trailers full of tools. You know, there might be months that we go by and we don't use one. You just need to have it the day that... So on your own time, go back and listen to this. You'll get the rest of them. Compromise. That's another one. You're both sinners, so compromise. Give a little, right? Give a little. Even when you think you're right, give a little. And the last one I have written down here is, it's funny that I have way more of these tools than any others. It's not because we've just never argued before, and so I'm just guessing this is how this works. I'm sorry, that's a lie right there. So have a clear resolution to each disagreement. Have a clear resolution. Don't ever just be like, well, fine, I guess we'll just sleep it over and sleep it off, and then I'll just wait 3 or 4 days, and eventually they'll get over it. Have a clear resolution to each disagreement. Make sure you put a bow on it. Always kiss and make up. Make sure there's an end to every beginning. What I just gave you is gold. Don't treat it like it's like pennies. What I just gave you, I'm telling you, is gold. Use it. Invest it. What's the best thing to do with gold? Invest it so you can have some more gold, right? Why? Because, you know, you've got something to live on. I'm just telling you, what I just gave you is gold if you invest it in your marriage. The sixth type of communication, I'll move quickly because nobody needs to talk about this. We call this sexual communication. I would explain this as how you make your spouse purr. There's a lot of verses here. I'm not even going to read these. There's a lot of verses out of Song of Solomon. We're going to spend a lot of time there tonight. We talk about intimacy, so I'm just going to... Song of Solomon 4:9, 7:10, 1:15, 1:8-17. Song of Solomon 4:9, 7:10, 1:15, and 1:8-17. Okay, so I got to get moving. Sexual communication. This is a combination of things spoken and things done. It takes both words. Well, it takes both. Words alone won't do, and vice versa. Actions alone don't do, words alone don't do, right? And we're going to have an entire night to talk about these kinds of things, so I'm going to move very quickly here. Get the gist of it, and I promise, I understand. Intimacy in marriage is a huge thing. We have an entire night set aside to talk very black and white about it, okay? So I'm going to move very quickly. This communication starts well before the bedroom. There's a book, I've never read it before, what do you know about that? It's called Sex Starts in the Kitchen. It's actually by a person that I did read another one of their books, so I probably would recommend it. Anyway, we'll get there. It just means like it doesn't start in the bedroom. Those kinds of things start earlier in the day. You're thinking, what is he talking about? What do you mean it starts in the kitchen? So let me give you a couple examples. You know, just a couple examples of what I mean by this has to start earlier. A simple note left in the morning. Leave your wife a note when you leave. Leave your husband a note. Hey, hope you have a good day. I tried to get in the routine. My wife was getting up and going and walking, and so I would get up after she left to walk, but I would be gone before. So I would pour her coffee for her, knowing that it would be cold by the time she got back, but at least I did it. And I would leave her a little note, and just because I wanted to have some sort of communication with her. And so anything. Hey, love you. Hope you have a good day. Sometimes it's a little more. If I had a couple extra minutes, I would choose you all over again. Any of those kinds of things to just let them know that they're important. Leave your spouse a note, right? That's one way I'm talking about. You know, a sweet text throughout the day. Just something. Thinking about you. Can't wait to see you. Paige and I, we text song lyrics back and forth to each other all the time. That's just what we do. I speak my life through song lyrics. That's just how we go. She's learned that about me. And so, you know. Maybe a lipstick letter on the mirror. I don't know. And I'm not talking about Brooks and Dunn style where she says she's leaving, but I just mean like something, just a little something to just something. It starts earlier in the day. It's communication. It's sexual communication. It's the right cologne or perfume at just the right time. Let me just tell you, just because you have it on doesn't mean it's going to happen, gals. Guys, it doesn't work like that. I'm just saying, at the right time, just these kinds of things. It's communication. Being available if you want them to be available. What do I mean by that? If you want her to be available tonight, you want him to be available tonight, maybe you should be available to maybe help with the dishes or the kids or the million things that come before that. I'm just saying. We'll spend a lot of time talking about those things. But being available if you want them to be available. So here's a question to ask yourself. From their perspective, meaning your spouse, because your spouse is the only person you would have a conversation like this with, from their perspective, does it appear that I'm chasing after them or simply what's in their pants? From their perspective, does it seem like I'm chasing after them or just what's in their pants? And you might say, well, that's kind of harsh. Well, how do you think they feel? I'm just saying. We'll talk about this a lot. Here's a couple tools. Sexual communication starts hours before the main event. It's an all-day thing, guys. I can't wait to see you tonight. I can't wait to, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be explicit. Just let them know that they're important, and I can't wait to spend time with you. Number two, another tool, sexual communication should not stop after the main event. I'm fill in the blank. We've got an entire night to talk about this. Number three, sexual communication should never happen outside of your marriage. There should be nobody ever that hears you talk or say things like these, even if they're just flirty, other than your spouse. Flirting is sexual communication. It doesn't happen outside of marriage. It also doesn't happen before marriage. Last tool for this thing. Other types of communication lead us here. Other types of communication lead us to sexual communication. Sexual communication never leads you to other types. It's never the start. It's usually not the finish either. But you don't ever say, okay, well, we don't communicate at all. Let's start with this sexual communication he was talking about, and then we'll see if we can't figure out the other ones. That's not how this works. It never starts there. Others lead to it. Okay, and we got an entire night. So the last one, I'm going to move very quickly because I think you'll get the gist of this one. I call this one future communication. It's how you plan for the future with your spouse. How you plan for the future with your spouse. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision. I can't remember exactly how the verse goes. Write it plainly upon the tables. Anyway, Habakkuk 2:2, Proverbs 29:18. You need to be a plan in your life. There needs to be something you're working towards, something that you're striving for. This type of communication may be one of the least quote-unquote sexy, but it's also one of the most important. If engaged couples, let me just talk to anybody in here who's not married, because you can't go back in time, those of you who are married, but let me just give you a tidbit of advice, Candace and Justin, and then the other singles that are in here. I can use you guys, because you're the only ones that are actually engaged. If engaged couples would spend as much time planning to be married as they do planning to get married, things would be much easier. We spend a lot of time, and I don't mean y'all, because maybe you don't, I don't know, but we spend a lot of time in our culture planning for the event when we need to be planning for the rest of our life, right? Instead of flowers and invitations, we planned budgets and families, we would have stronger marriages, but what do I know? Just saying. Ask yourself this question. I'm done. When was the last time we had a future planning meeting in our marriage? A what? A future planning meeting. What's happening in the future? When was the last time we set mutual goals that we both want to see achieved? At the beginning of each year, Paige and I sit down and we spend a couple weeks thinking about the year coming up, and these are goals that we have for our family. These are goals that we have for me, our ministry. These are goals that we have for our business, just different things. And, you know, we sit down and we write them down. These are things that we want for our financial state. You know, you should have these kinds of things. There should be goals in your life. If there's not, like, what are you working for? What are you striving towards? There should be something. And so here's some tools. Seems kind of simple, but you need to plan time to plan. Set aside time, whether it's once a year, twice a year, but set aside time where you're actually going to, okay, where do we want to be next year? What are we striving towards? What are we working towards? Where do we want to be? Right, it's sad, but we have to plan that we're going to have a date night every month. And it's also even more sad that we usually don't get it done. You know, but you need to plan things. These are goals that you have that you both want to happen. Because if not, life happens, okay? Number two, second tool, set goals for your life, whether it be financial, personal, marriage goals, family goals, ministry, business goals, whatever they are, have goals. Sit down and have goals. They don't have to be like, I want to be a millionaire by next year, because if you've got that goal, I want to know your plan. Because if it's good enough, I want it. I'll even give you credit for it. I'm just kidding, like, they need to be attainable goals, okay? But if you don't have a goal, what are you working for? What are you striving for? Right? What is it? So the last one, make time to evaluate how things are going with your plans and adjust them as necessary. Don't just have goals, but then never go back to them. Well, you know, the goal was to have some money in savings by the end of the year, but yet again, here we are, or whatever. And so have goals, but then have time to go back to them. Okay, that's a lot of different communication. I am 30 seconds over. I have a couple tasks for you. I know the clock says I'm way more over, but I'm not scared of that clock anymore. It tricked me last week, but I am. Here's some tasks. Hopefully you guys did last week. Sit down and, like, this is going to be our day to talk. This is going to be our day to reference what we talked about. Did anybody watch that movie this week? Anybody? It was actually, like, he's like, she did. I don't usually watch movies either, man. I get it. No, I just didn't know. I didn't know if anybody would actually do them. So anyway, it fit really well with the story last week. So here's some tasks for you this week. Just get the gist of this. I'm gonna read it word for word, but don't write it down word for word. Just kind of get the gist of what I'm saying. The first one, sit down together and set up rules of engagement for future disagreements. This one needs to happen. Set up some rules of engagement. We talked about those. So make that happen. I told you, that was gold. You need to make sure you invest that gold, okay? And set up some rules of engagement. Number two, and these are, like, I really want you to do this, and I really understand that most of you probably won't, because you're going to give me an excuse like I was too busy, or I had this going on, or I had this going on, and I'm also going to tell you that, what was it, busyness doesn't count for laziness or something along those lines, and basically I'm telling you you're lazy, and so do this. Review the seven types of communication we talked about. You wrote them down, you referenced, review them, and pick at least three of them in your own time that you think you need to grow in your marriage. And then sit down with your spouse and be like, okay, these are a couple that I think we should grow in, and maybe they're going to think the same thing, and maybe they're not, and actually have a conversation as to why you think we need to grow in this area, right? Well, I think we need to have better sexual communication. And she's going to be like, okay, well, maybe we should start by having this kind of communication. Anyway, the point is, like, did you hear of an area tonight where you're like, I feel like we did pretty good on that, but that one, it doesn't really happen. The only way to grow is to communicate. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay, so talk about them. Talk about them together. Talk about why you think you've struggled in this area. And then the last one, pick one, because we always need to end on a good note. Pick one that you feel like you guys do pretty good on, right? Pick one that you're like, I feel like everything he said, we do real well on that, okay? And here's what I want you to do with it. Discuss why you think you do so well with that one and how you can take the things that you do with that one and make others better. The goal is to have better overall communication, not just pick and choose the areas that you want to have good communication in. It was a lot. I'm going to pray. I'm over time. I'm really sorry. I will do my best to give it back to you sometime. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I apologize for not getting to the verses. And Lord, I pray that you would just make time in the folks' lives to actually dive into them and hear what you have to say from your word. But I do pray that you would use the things that we looked at tonight to glorify and edify you first and foremost, because that is the picture that we're trying to accomplish, and that, Lord, we would really make time to communicate, to have conversation, because as we look into more areas down the road, it's going to allow us to have healthy conversation about those things. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just allow these things to settle in our hearts and minds, protect our marriages from the adversary, because he's a punk and he's going to try to dive in and swoop these things up. And so I pray that we would protect them, protect our spouse, Lord, and that you would just get all the honor and glory. Again, we just praise you for just the sacrifice of Mitch and Dodie and Miss Pam and everybody who's been helping out with this thing. I pray that you are getting all the honor and the glory. In Christ's name, amen.